Nemine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. We have today the final day of the year of 2020, which many people are going to be happy to be rid of. I don't think the next coming months are going to be much better, but we'll see. Before that, before we talk about the end of the year, the saints for today, one of them, Blessed Alan de Salminiac, bishop in France in the 1600s. Is noteworthy because he was bishop for 23 years, and he first attended the Council of Trent as a priest, and later when he became a bishop, was very determined to follow the lead of St. Charles Borromeo in forming his diocese. And so he did that very well, took great care in caring for his flock, and he had 800 parishes in his diocese, and he visited each one personally. Every single parish, 800 of them, he visited personally. 9 times as bishop. So it was incredible efforts from him. And he was noted for his face-to-face meetings with parishioners. He would just sit down individually with anybody who would like. So a great example there from Blessed Alan from France. Another a woman, a nun, Blessed Giuseppina Nicoli, she was in the 1800s. She was a nurse, a Daughters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul. And she spent a great deal of time teaching the poor. And very interesting, it says she taught those, she taught the poor, the orphans, the illiterate, and the daughters of rich families whose children went to fine schools but who had no religious education. So all of those are included in the poor whom she taught, because she taught them catechism. She taught them the faith. And it doesn't matter how much you have materially. If you don't have the faith, you don't have anything. And very sad, you know, we have this culture today where abortion is legal. But even before abortion was possible, children were still getting aborted, we could say, in that she cared for children who were orphaned, who were homeless, abandoned, or thrown out of the house by their families. Right? So this happens. It's horrible that people would treat their children so poorly. And it happens still in many countries. In Africa, they have a great orphanages are by children whose parents are still living, but they've been abandoned or turned out of their families. They just don't want to care for them anymore. And that would be one of the reasons why Christ our Lord came as a child. He came as a little baby. That's precious, right? That is valuable. And that's a gift to humanity, our children themselves. So when Christ came clothed in the flesh, clothed as a little infant, he really came very richly adorned, we could say, with the gift of that childhood, like the gift of life. But our commemorated saint for today is Saint Sylvester, and he was the pope who saw the church. He was a transition piece from persecution to the establishment of Catholicism as not the official religion, but the Constantine the Great, who began to build churches openly. It was like the church went from persecution to it has official status in the empire, and it is esteemed. So he was pope from 314 to 335, and he would be the first one to engage in official church and state relations with Constantine. In fact, he instructed Constantine in the faith, even though Constantine wouldn't be baptized until much, much later, but he gave him his first instruction in the faith. He advised him in the construction of churches, of which there are many. So under the patronage of the emperor, the church built the most important basilicas that we still have today. The original St. Peter's Basilica on Vatican Hill, that was built under Pope Sylvester. It's completely different now. It was burned and destroyed. The current one was built by in the Renaissance times. But originally, the church on Vatican Hill, built under Pope Sylvester with Constantine's assistance. Same thing with the Basilica of St. John Lateran. That was gifted by the emperor, turned into a church. St. Paul's outside the wall, the Basilica of St. Lawrence, right? All of these are the ancient churches. This is when they were constructed. And in fact, along those lines, Pope Sylvester had decreed that altars no longer should be made of wood, but should be made of stone, signifying the permanence of the church, right? Before they were Christians, Catholics were harassed. They would say mass here and there in the catacombs and houses. But now that was no longer necessary. Churches could be out in the open. They could be magnificent. They should be. And so the altars should be stone. And over time, just due to availability of materials, it was decreed, okay, only the tabletop has to be, the mensa has to be stone. And eventually that became the altar stone. Just that portion, that center part of the altar, is a stone in which is included the relic of a saint. And so you may see wooden altars. Underneath the linens, there's a little square of stone, and that's from Pope St. Sylvester. He also actually did quite a bit of we'd say, things that, I mean, the world's not going to find very interesting. I mean, maybe the average Catholic won't find interesting, but I mean, as a priest, it's sure interesting to me, so I'll tell you some of them. So if anybody recites the Divine Office, there's Sunday, there's Dominica, Saturday is Sabato, and the other days of the week are Ferias, Feria 1, 2, 3. Pope St. Sylvester said this is what we're going to call them, the Lord's Day, the Sabbath, and Feria. So that's why they're named what they are, Pope St. Sylvester. He also said deacons should wear a dalmatic, a stole, and a maniple. Right, you look at the vestments of the sacred ministers. Why are they wearing what they are? Somebody had to make the decision. Pope Sylvester was one of them. This is like I don't know if I could use an analogy. Maybe it's like computer code, right? Like you see what's on the screen, but what's underneath? Who wrote the code? Why do we see what we see? That's kind of, when knowing this stuff, that's how it is. Why does the church do this? Why does the church do that? You go back and you find the men who made those decisions. It's not just some arcane bunch of arbitrary rules that we do here and there. Somebody made the decision. They had a reason and a purpose for doing so. And knowing a little bit about that is good. It gives depth and substance to our solemnities. Let's see what else. Priests should anoint the heads of the newly baptized with chrism. Right? Now you see the priest do that? It was St. Sylvester who said this needs to be done. He also said bishops alone have the right of consecrating the holy chrism. And we see that every year during Holy Week leading up to Easter. We go to the chrism mass, the bishop blesses all the oils, all the way back to Pope St. Sylvester. He said only the bishop can do that. And let's see. When we do the consecration at Mass, Pope St. Sylvester said you have to have a linen corporal over the area where that consecration is taking place. You cannot do it without that linen. Number one, it catches any particles. Number two, it represents the burial cloth around our Lord, just like the linens on the altar. So all these things, and very importantly, presided over the Council of Nicaea. He's the one who approved that council, and especially the Nicene Creed under Pope St. Sylvester, where this occurred. So all kinds of important historical information there from St. Sylvester. And again, he died in the year 335. In many countries in Europe, St. Sylvester's Day, it was the day, it was in the 1500s, I think. And in Germany, they don't see New Year's Eve, they say Sylvester. Like, what are you doing for Sylvester? That's the term they use for it. So it's very interesting. I don't know if any other countries do that. But that is, again, the remnant that you didn't calculate time according to calendar days. It was feasts. It was the Annunciation, the Assumption, this day, that St. Crispin's Day, right? All these kinds of things. That's how people calculated time was by the church. And now, really, so we get into the end of the year. And, people are like, oh, let's take stock. Let's think about the year that's already passed. And what have we done? And what are we going to do better for the future? And all those kind of things. And what are your New Year's resolutions? We've already been through this. At least we should have been, right? At the 24th and last Sunday after Pentecost, when we read about the second coming of Christ. And we are all to ask ourselves, how have I been this past year? What has my conduct been? How have been my daily prayers? What am I doing with my life? And am I living properly? And am I prepared for the second coming of Christ? Am I prepared for when I'm standing face to face with Christ on Judgment Day? Am I ready for that? Do I need to change anything for this next upcoming liturgical year? It's so fitting that we, the Catholic Church, celebrate or rather call to mind to the faithful our final end. Not at the same time, right? Like this end of the temporal year, January 31st or December 31st, it's not this life that's important. It's not this world that matters. Like this year, this temporal year has come and gone. That really is unimportant. Only insofar as, like, what have I done spiritually? Right? So that's our new year is at the beginning of Advent. It's a preparation for Christ. It's recalling before that happens, you know, Christ will come again. We should fear the dread second coming of Christ. That's what we should feel first, right? Fear the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. But after feeling that fear, the church transitions us into Advent when we become thinking, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid of the second coming of Christ, because remember the first coming of Christ. Right? Remember when he came as a little child and he wants to bring you love and repentance. So there is hope. Right? That's the new year that the church brings to us to mind. It's already happened, and that's what's more important than this, this temporal passing year. You know, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars, famines, plagues, right? All these kinds of things that we're seeing, living through right now. Don't worry about it. Right? It's been prophesied. It's been foretold. What matters is our soul. Right? What's the state of my soul? Am I poor or rich in the spirit? Right? Am I an orphan spiritually? Do I not know who my father and mother are? You know, God the Father, Holy Mother Church. And there are many poor orphans out there. Doesn't matter how rich they are in this world, do they know the truth? So that should be our resolution for this new year, is to bring as many people as we can into the faith, into the true church. How? By our example, by our prayers, by our sacrifices, by our humility, by our love of the truth. That's going to attract, that's what attracts people. So let's make that resolution for this year and ask for the intercessions of the saints, Saint Sylvester and all holy saints, that we may start the new year properly and well, bringing people into the faith. God bless you all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.